Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this time, for giving us the grace to gather in this manner to worship you, to sing praises unto you, to bless your holy name, to just give thanks with our hearts, and also to gather as one family to hear your word and to be ministered by the Holy Spirit. Father, we want to commit this time into your hands. Open up our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Holy Spirit, you are the true preacher. Minister to your people. We commit these sermons into your hand. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen, amen. Please be seated. A very good morning to everyone. Once again, welcome to the 11:15 a.m. service. My name is Joshua Raj, and I'll be starting the Tamil ministry here soon in April 7th, Tamil-speaking service. So just to let you know, by April 7th, we'll be launching our Tamil-speaking service here at St. Andrew's Cathedral. And I've been sent here to start the work. Now, the cathedral here is on a sermon series, A Hope for All. And today, I want to speak to you from the story of Jesus and the woman of Samaria. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to John chapter 4, verse 1 to 26. John chapter 4, verse 1 to 26. I will read for you. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.' For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it's now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God in spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." My friends, since creation, mankind has always been in pursuit of happiness, pursuit of contentment, fulfillment. Anything that will bring to their lives the smallest measure of satisfaction. That is what human beings have been longing for all these years. There's this strong longing in our hearts for our needs to be met, for us to be satisfied. We want that. And sometimes in vain, some pursue riches. Some think that by pursuing riches, I will be able to find satisfaction. Some pursue fame in order to achieve satisfaction. They want to be the center of all things. They want to be popular. They want to be well-known. They want to be well-liked, thinking that this will bring them satisfaction. Some pursue success. There are many seminars here, even in Singapore, to teach you on how to be successful in what you're doing. And people think that success will bring them satisfaction. There are some who pursue relationships, right? They find the need to find a partner, be a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and then to get married, thinking that these relationships will bring them satisfaction, will bring them fulfillment and joy. And some pursue pleasure. Pleasure can be in the form of, pleasure can be for thrill seekers. They want to climb the highest mountain, thinking that once they've reached there, they've achieved and they'll find satisfaction. Some might want to jump from the highest point they can find, you know, jump from buildings and from aeroplanes, right, to parachute down, thinking that they'll find satisfaction. They want to feel that thrill. And there are some who find pleasure, they find sexual pleasures, thinking that this will satisfy them. So there is a hunger in man that this world can never satisfy. Here, the scripture portion that I read, Jesus is at the well of Sychar. There he finds a woman who had sort of wasted her life in the pursuit of satisfaction. Right? She had married 5 husbands in the hopes that maybe she will find some satisfaction through these relationships, hoping that it will fulfill her longing all these years. She came to a well in the time of day where most of them were not there. Maybe she wanted to avoid the people in her town who would have scorned her, mocked her, made fun of her because of the way she lived her life. She wanted to avoid them, and she could have gone at a time where no one was at the well. She could have felt worthless, maybe even hopeless, wondering what's going to come of her. But what she found at the well was what she had been looking for all along. The words Jesus spoke to her, I'm sure she will never forget. He quickly lets her know that what he had, she could also receive. And that is the living water. He tells this woman, sinful woman, of what the whole world had been striving for. He outlines the nature and the abundance of a satisfaction guaranteed only by God himself. See, the Samaritan woman initially isn't convinced. She resists Jesus at every turn she can get. She even attempted to distract him with religious talk, right? Maybe she was getting a bit uncomfortable with Jesus prying into her personal life. So she distracted him by talking about Abraham and Jacob and all this. But Jesus didn't stop until she ran to tell her neighbors about finding satisfaction. You may be sitting here today wondering, maybe even skeptical, thinking whether can Jesus really deliver what he promised? Promise of satisfaction, promise of joy and peace. We may have doubts, we may have questions, it's fine. But Jesus is not intimidated or even bothered by our doubts or by our questions. Jesus is willing to work with us patiently to give us what we have desired all along, and that is satisfaction. The living word. So what is the living word? The living water, sorry. So what is the living water? So the living water is a gift that satisfies. It's a satisfying gift. So Jesus didn't answer the question on the Samaritan woman's lips. He answered the question that lay in her heart. In her heart, there was this burning question, the need for satisfaction. So Jesus starts by revealing to her that this satisfaction is actually a gift from God. John chapter 4 verse 10, it says, right? Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God. See, we all know the difference between a reward and a gift. A reward is something which you work hard for, you earn, you can say you earned it, you strive for it, and then because you've achieved something, a reward is given to you. But that But a gift is different. It is given to us regardless of what we have done, of how we have lived our life. A gift is given because it's a gift, right? We don't earn that gift. So this woman would have thought that her reward for happiness would be in her diligent search for happiness, search for all these things, and she would be rewarded in the end. But never, I think, she would have dreamt that it would be a gift given to her. And even more so by a stranger, because for her at that time, Jesus was a stranger. She never would have thought a gift from a stranger. And this is a gift Jesus went out of his way to give us. The gift of the living water. You see, this woman didn't go out seeking Jesus, but Jesus sought her out. I was an idol worshipper before I came to Christ when I was younger. I was seeking God, but I was never seeking Jesus. For me, it was just seeking God. But I found Jesus not because I was looking for him. I found Jesus because he sought me. He was looking for me, and that is how I found Jesus. Not because of my own efforts trying to find God. I was looking for God in my own idol worshipping ways. But Jesus sought me out, and because of that, I found him. So he came looking for me. In this woman, with this woman, this Samaritan woman, Jesus didn't send his disciples. He went there himself. Right? Only Jesus can give you this gift of satisfaction. No preacher, no teacher, nobody else. Only Jesus. And no matter what our story of salvation may be, but how we came to know Jesus, my friends, Jesus went out of his way to look for you and me. So this life that we have, this salvation that we have, is a gift from God. He came and sought us out, and he gave us this gift freely. And this is a free gift. We all know, right? Our debt to sin has been fully paid. Paid in full by Jesus himself. And he paid this debt even before we knew him. Even before we knew Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He had already paid this debt. It is not in response of anything we had done. We didn't earn this gift. Not because we have been good. We have done the right things. We've been good people, we've been good citizens. No. Nothing in response to what we have done, but it's purely a gift from God. And Jesus is not hindered by who we are. For instance, this woman, Samaritan woman, we know the Samaritans were frowned upon by the Jews. They never communicated with them, they never fellowshiped or spoke with them because the Samaritans went away from God. They intermarried. They disobeyed God. And this woman, among the Samaritan women, Samaritan people who were looked down on, she herself led a life that was not a very... She didn't live a very good life. She had 5 husbands. Right? People would have scorned and mocked her and looked down on her. She had her own struggles. And yet, Jesus went to her. Whatever our status may be, whatever our struggles or challenges may be, whatever our flaws or shortcomings may be, my friends, Jesus is not hindered in approaching us. Our sins, our weaknesses, our shortcomings will not hinder Jesus from coming to us and giving us this gift that is the living water. It is free. But there's only one condition, and that condition is that we receive it. Right? When he gives us that gift, we receive that gift. And that is all that he asks. And this gift is inclusive. It's not an exclusive gift. Right? You see, this woman came to the well at a time when no one was around because she was considered an outcast. Right? And she had grown to accept that. She was accustomed to this, of being an outcast. She accepted that was her way of life. But you see, Jesus' actions spoke louder than his words. To Jesus, this Samaritan woman was not an outcast. Not only would he speak to her, but, you know, he would ask for the Samaritan woman to offer him a drink from her pot. And this is unheard of in Jewish culture. A Jewish man will never do that. First of all, speak to a Samaritan woman, and then to ask her for water from her pot. Unheard of. You see, who she was didn't bother Jesus. He still wanted to give her that gift. And that is likewise for us. Who we are doesn't bother Jesus. He wants to give us that gift. So firstly, the living water is a gift that satisfies. Secondly, the living water is a drink that satisfies. It is a satisfying drink. You see, when they have approached the Samaritan woman, many, maybe even some of us, would have been quick to point out the woman's sin, the sinful life that she's been living. We would have been quick to point that out, quick to point out her flaws and shortcomings, quick to point out what was wrong with her. But Jesus was quick to point out not her sins, but he was quick to point out her thirst, her longing. He saw that in her, and he was quick to point that out. You see, many live a life of sin not because they're driven by rebellion, because I want to be rebellious and I want to sin. Right? Many are driven to sin because of thirst, a longing, a thirst in their hearts that is not satisfied. And this is what drives people to sin. And so Jesus begins by uncovering that thirst in her, that longing in us. See, the living water is a drink that satisfies us because it quenches what the world cannot. John chapter 4, verse 13. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. It is the nature of the physical, of the world. When I was in the army, right, they will tell all these soldiers before they go for an exercise, or even especially when it's a hot day, they will tell them to fill up their water bottle, and they'll ask you to drink. Everyone is forced to drink. And they will tell you to drink beyond the point of thirst. Right? Drink until you're full, until you cannot drink anymore, beyond the point of thirst. But even, no matter how much water you drink, even if you drink beyond the point of thirst, in a short while, you will be thirsty again. No matter how much water you have drunk, you will feel thirsty. And same thing also, right? We eat today, tomorrow, we will feel hungry, right? I don't know if anyone who will eat today and tomorrow will not feel hungry, right? Some of us, if we eat in the morning, afternoon, we are hungry. Some of us, even before that, we are hungry. We need a snack in between, right? So we need that. So nobody is full forever. Nobody is filled forever. In fact, all this food will only increase our appetite. Right? The more you eat, the more you get hungry, right? So that is how it is. It doesn't quench. You know, we get deeper into sin because the last sin didn't satisfy us. That's why we sin. We sin more and more. We get deeper and deeper into sin. Let me give you an example. For someone who has just started smoking, right? Nicotine gives you a certain relief for a short while. So he smokes one cigarette, he feels a relief, he's happy. And then the next day he smokes one, and he doesn't find satisfaction, not relieved. And then he progresses to the second stick. And then the second stick doesn't satisfy. And then they go on to the third. And then what happens is, one whole day, they can finish one whole packet. I'm not sure how many there is in one packet because I don't smoke. Yeah, but I don't know. So they might end up smoking one or two packets a day. 10, 15 sticks a day. Because you know why? That one stick did not satisfy. The second one did not. The third one did not satisfy. And then they go on and on and on. So that is why sometimes we go on and on, deeper into sin, because you know why? The last sin did not satisfy us. And so it gets so caught up. We go deeper into sin. But what the world cannot quench, there is a well that can. Right? That well quenches completely. John chapter 4 verse 14 says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again." Never be thirsty. It quenches completely. We have to look no further. We have found the source and the supply of that living water, and that is Jesus Christ. Right? And then it quenches eternally. Right? We'll never be thirsty again. Earthly wells can only give us temporary satisfaction. But the water Jesus brings, it never stops. And thirdly, the living water is a well that satisfies. It's a satisfying well. Jesus lets this Samaritan woman know that what he had wasn't just a touch or a blessing, but a well. It wasn't just a cup of water for you to drink and that's it. No, it's a well. John chapter 4, verse 14 reads, "Will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The living water is a well within us. It is resident with us. It is a part of us. It's not a part of us, but it's a part of us. Right? It is with us. It stays with us. It goes wherever we go. Not only when we are in church, when we are at home, when we are in our office, when we are with our friends, when you are alone. It is always there with us. That well that God gives, that living water, right? It rises up to a well inside us. It goes where we go. It goes through what we go through. So if you're going through a difficult time, you're going through a crisis, you're going through a storm, you're in trouble, you have challenges, you have issues, you're struggling with a lot of issues, the well is there with you for you to draw from. And if you receive this living water, it wells up in you, and the well is always there with you for you to draw from. No matter what your struggles may be, no matter what your challenges may be, no matter where you are, you can always draw from this well. It is with us. It never leaves us. And this well is an inexhaustible well. Right? It's like trying... Okay. For example, the Bedok Reservoir. Right? If I were to ask any one of you to go and drink all the water in Bedok Reservoir, no way, no one can do that, right? It is like that. You cannot finish drinking the water in Bedok Reservoir. And likewise, the well, the water in this well, you cannot finish drinking the water in this well. It will never run dry. And finally, the living water is a life that satisfies. It's a satisfying life. Jesus lets her know that this water was living water. John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, He would have given you living water, not stagnant water, which is unclean, which is lifeless. Right? I remember when I was in the army, when we went to the jungles in Brunei and Sarawak, you're always told, never fill up your water bottle from stagnant water, for those who are in the army. Right? Always fill up your water from running water, river that is flows, so you take water from there, it's cleaner. Never from stagnant water, because it is unclean, it is dirty. Right? Running water is used to wash, and that is what the priest used to do, the Jewish priest used to do, for washing. This Samaritan woman, she tried to distract Jesus with religious talk, talking to him about where to worship, about Abraham, about Jacob. Religious talk. But Jesus let her know that he wasn't talking about religion. He was talking about life. This life that he wants to give her. And when she received this, when she received this message from Jesus at that time, such life sprang up from within her. She was so excited. She was so full of life. And you know what she did? She forgot the purpose, that the very reason why she was there. She forgot that she was there to fetch water. Right? She left the pot there and she ran back to her town, knocking on doors and telling those around that she had found the Messiah. Right? She had found the source of living water. She had found the source of satisfaction. She went on telling. There was so much life in her. The moment she received it, life just sprang up in her. A woman who was dead. Life came into her. It was overflowing. Right? You see, if you are not careful, instead of embracing God's gift, we'll be distracted by the workings of how it's done, how to receive this living water, how can it be done. For example, when this Samaritan woman came, she came with her pot to fill with water. But when she saw Jesus then, here he was talking about giving life, talking about living water. He said, if you had asked, I would have given you that living water. And she's looking at him and she says, hey, what is he talking about giving living water? He doesn't even have any vessels in his hands. He doesn't have the instruments or the tools to give me water or even to fetch or even to get water from the well. And she's telling him, The well is too deep. It's very deep. How are you going to get water? You don't have the tools. You don't have the proper equipment to get that water. So how are you going to give me water? So she was so distracted by all this. So let us not be distracted about how Jesus will give this to us. Sometimes we will think, you know, I am backslidden. I have moved away from God. How is He going to bless me? How is He going to give me this living water? How is He going to satisfy me? I have drawn away from God. I have moved so far away from Him. I have sinned. I have done what is not pleasing in His eyes. I have betrayed Him. I have not been faithful to God. So how will He give me this? Cannot. It is not possible. I've been caught up in sin. I've been so deeply caught up in sin that there's no way God will bless me. That there's no way He's going to satisfy me. I have to go and seek my own satisfaction. And that is why we get deeper and deeper into sin. Because we think, Jesus cannot do this. Because it is not, my life is not right. The situation is not right. I am not right. So how can He bless me? Cannot be. And what we do is we move away even further from Him. And we get caught up in sin. Sometimes we think that we have slackened, we have backslidden. God has forgotten me. There's no way for me to turn back. But let me tell you, my friends, He is always waiting to give us that living water that truly satisfies. Sometimes we go to the world because we are caught up, we are struggling. We have a lot of challenges, we have a lot of issues. And sometimes we want answers immediately. We cannot wait for the Lord to give us that answer. So what we do is to get that satisfaction, we go out to the world, we seek advice from the world. We do things that are not of God. We do things that are of the world. And we get caught up and we think that this is what will satisfy us. But in the end, when we look deeply, we see that this cannot satisfy us. The only satisfaction, the true satisfaction, comes from Jesus only. And a lot of time we think that I need to do things in order to get this satisfaction. But Jesus is telling you, I want to give you that gift freely. You don't need to earn that gift. You don't need to work hard for that gift. You don't need to strive for that gift. All you need to do is return back to me. And today, if you have gone away from Him, if you have turned away from Jesus, the invitation to you, my brothers and sisters, is to return back to Jesus, to turn back to Him, and He will give you that living water that will truly satisfy you. And when He satisfies you, and that is all you need, because He is our true satisfaction, we don't need to go anywhere else. So are you unsatisfied with where you are today, with your work? Unsatisfied with what's happening at home, with your children, with your spouse? Unsatisfied with what's happening with your relatives? You're not satisfied with what's happening with society, with things around you? Are you trying to find satisfaction on your own? But when Jesus is here, waiting to freely give you this living water that will truly satisfy you. You see, we will find satisfaction with everything else only when we find true satisfaction in Jesus. When we come to Him, when we rest at His feet, that is where we find true satisfaction. And He wants to give us that satisfaction, that true living water. So today, will we turn to Him for satisfaction? Be satisfied in the presence of God. And that is all we need. And He will take care of the rest. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed, shall we turn to the Lord? Jesus said, come to me and I will give you living water. So will you come to Him this day? You may not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and yet you are longing for satisfaction. You're looking around and finding and trying to find out where you would find true satisfaction. What is it that will satisfy you, that will give you peace and joy and happiness? Let me tell you, it is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. If today you would come before Him as you are, with your hearts opened, Jesus Himself will satisfy you. Just call out to Him. And if you're a believer, you feel that you've gone away from the Lord, you've stepped back in your commitment to God, or maybe even gone back to sin, and you are thinking that you're not worthy enough to receive that living water, to receive that satisfaction, then let me tell you that that is the deception of the enemy. Because we don't need to be worthy to receive that living water, because it is a gift from God freely given to us. We may not be worthy, But God doesn't see us as an outcast. He doesn't push us aside. Because in His sight, we are deserving, we are worthy, and He gives us that gift free. Will you receive that gift? Will you turn back to Him today and receive that gift of satisfaction? The living water that truly satisfies. Father, we want to thank You for that assurance that You've given us through Your word, that true satisfaction is found in Jesus. Father, we want to come before You, Father God, and ask for Your forgiveness for seeking satisfaction elsewhere, for running around in this world looking for satisfaction, hoping to be satisfied by the things of this world. Father, we are sorry and we repent. And Father, even right now, we turn back to You, asking You for that living water, the living water that truly satisfies. And Father, we know that when we ask, You would give it to us. Father, this day, Father, fill us with that living water. Let it overflow in our lives. Let it be a well in our lives, oh Father God, that we can draw from every day for all situations, in all circumstances, at all times. Let that living water just so well up in our lives, oh Father God, and let it satisfy us in all things, oh Father God. Thank You, Father. And Father, for this we ask that You'll give us the discipline and the humbleness to come before You, to rest at Your feet, to receive that satisfaction. Because You are the one who truly satisfies. And You're the only one who can satisfy us, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. In Jesus' most wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.